and products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is Karis LeVert from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to Kenny and JT on 1480 WHBC.
With us, like snakes.
I get it now. I'm like, hey, if we're going to interview the guy, why don't we have his little promo instead of Karis LeVert?
And then but
he just shows up. Yes, arms like snakes.
Arms like snakes.
I get it.
Oh, the radio voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Tim Elkhorn, joining us here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse before tonight's Game 5, the pivotal Game 5 in this playoff series. How are you, Tootsie?
As Marv Levy, Pro Football Hall of Famer, would say, where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Attaboy.
Absolutely. And that's me with the best pick and roll combo in Canton.
There you go. We're on the road.
That's right.
Our game travels a little better than the Cavaliers, but we're at home here tonight for the Cavaliers, where they have played better in this series, Tim. And you've covered this game a long time. How many seasons now with the Cavs?
This is my fifth.
Unbelievable. All right. So you've been on the road. You see road versus home. Why is it such a big thing where it really make double-digit wins for the Cavs, 20 or 30-point wins for the Magic?
It is strange.
Isn't it?
You know, you think of Hoosiers with Gene Hackman, and the basket's 10 feet,
right,
and the foul line's 15 feet away, and the three-point line, it wasn't in Hoosiers, but in the NBA is the same distance. But there's something about the comfort of home and the home crowd. And I know Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse will provide a great home court advantage tonight. And the guys just feed off that, and it fuels them. And for whatever reason, they just play at a more comfortable level on their home floor. They know the surroundings. They've been sleeping in their own bed for a couple of nights.
Right.
I think that all plays into it because the numbers don't lie. It doesn't matter what the sport, home court, home field, home ice, it's a huge number that favors the home team. So, yeah, let's hope this place is rocking and rolling and loud tonight and the Cavs feed off that.
Tim, when you compare these two teams, I mean, we all know because it's still fresh in our mind that they got blown out in Orlando. The first two games could have been blowouts on the favor of the Cavaliers because they had 20-point leads in, I think, both those games, but for whatever reason, in the fourth quarter, they let up just a little bit maybe. If that's the case, will the real Cavaliers or the real Orlando Magic please stand up? What do we expect tonight? I expect more of the same from the home team.
Well, I expect a much improved Cavalier effort and performance than we saw in Orlando. But I think Orlando will play well tonight. This is a pivotal game. Whoever goes down 3-2 is really in the hole. So I expect Orlando to play with more confidence. Mm-hmm. Now they've got four playoff games under their belt. They know what this is all about. I think Banchero has looked comfortable from the get-go. I think he's looked very comfortable out there. But their younger players like Suggs, like Wagner, even the villainous other brother Wagner,
right,
Mo Wagner. But these guys have developed a confidence now. Now they come in with a little swagger to them.
Okay.
Hey, we've won two in a row. So I think this will be the closest game of the series, and I think this will just be a war here tonight.
So confidence versus pressure.
Yes. Yeah, I think the pressure is definitely on the Cavaliers.
Exactly.
I think, they're going to be playing with a sense of urgency, having known what they went through in the two games down in Orlando earlier, to go back down there trailing 3-2 on Friday night. That really puts you behind the eight ball. Mm-hmm. Flip side of that is, JT, Cavs go up 3-2. Now you've got this young team playing with a lose or go home. They haven't faced that yet. Mm-hmm. They faced two games on the road and had to learn about playoff basketball and how it's different. But when you get into the psyche of a very young player, if we don't win tonight, we're done. Mm-hmm. Even if they're on their home floor, I think that plays a factor.
Happy to have with us the voice of the Cavaliers, Tim Alcorn, here on the Kenny and JT Show, broadcasting live from Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. It's an 8 o'clock tip-off tonight. Got pushed back, NBA, you wait and see, TBD, to be determined. They made it an 8 o'clock game on NBA TV and on Bally's. And, of course, you can listen to it on the Cavs Audioverse and WHBC if you're in the Canton area checking this out. And, Tim, Donovan Mitchell, he looked great physically in game one, we thought, right? Then he goes from 30 to 23, and then he's in the teens, the two road games. And at times he looked okay, but he didn't score in the second half. What are you seeing from him physically through the four games? Has there been a decrease, or has it been better defense?
I don't think it's necessarily where you can see it visually,
okay,
where he's limping around or he's slow. But to your point, Kenny, the numbers have gone down. Although in the first half Saturday, to me, he looked terrific.
Right.
An 18-point first half. Yep. He was explosive. I mean, he was going to the basket, kind of picking and choosing his spots. And then he disappeared in that second half. Now, I don't think that's all on Donovan, even though he's put that on his own shoulders.
Right.
You got to get him the basketball, too.
Okay.
I mean, I think the Cavs got stagnant on offense.
Okay.
And Donovan's one of those guys that he works well in an offense that's flowing, that's moving. We saw that when the Cavs won 18 out of 20. That's when Donovan was really rolling. And it wasn't just standing out on the wing and taking jump shots. The offense had a lot of fluidity to it. So, again, he needs to get more than four shots off. But that's on his shoulders. But I also think it's on his teammates' shoulders to get him involved, to get him the basketball. He's your go-to guy. That's got to happen.
Yeah, it does. Now, having said that, and I agree 100% with you, who's the kid from Boston last night?
Derek White.
Derek White, 38 points. Mm-hmm. Didn't expect that from him. Other teams, we see other players that weren't expected to deliver 20, 25, 30 points step up. Doesn't somebody need to come to his rescue, though, too, especially if he's not 100%?
I do, absolutely. And the surrounding cast for the Cavaliers has not done that so far. Even in the first two games, there really wasn't another guy that you said, they really stepped up and had huge games. I'll make a caveat there. I think Jared Allen has been outstanding the whole series.
He's
been terrific. But I agree with your point, Kenny. Whether it's a Max Strus or a DG, even a LeVert coming in off the bench, the guys who normally bring you that firepower, somebody's got to step up. There has to be a second guy that can provide some point production. Listen, part of Donovan's slippage throughout the series is because he's been blitzed. He's been double-teamed. Mm-hmm. They're forcing the ball out of his hands. Now, if you force the ball out of his hands and DG knocks down a three or Strus hits a jumper or whatever the case may be, all of a sudden you're going to see Jamal Mosley say, okay, well, we paid a price for blitzing Donovan. They haven't done that so far.
Okay, you can blitz a point guard or a two guard, whatever you want to call him, all you want. But the reason the Cavaliers aren't able to shoot the three, is it a different defense we're seeing from Orlando that we saw in the regular season? And I know it's a short sample. You only played them four times. Are they too long? What poses the biggest problem for the Cavaliers as they like to try and shoot the three and they just aren't hitting anything?
Well, the four games is a short sample, but their 82-game regular season stats are not. Mm-hmm. That's a big sample size. That's a whole season. They defended the three all season long.
Okay.
Listen, Orlando's a terrific defensive team. So not to take anything away from them. Have the Cavs struggled? Yes. But I think you have to give some credit to Orlando's defense. And JT, you mentioned the length. They are big up front, and they've got wing guys that can go out and defend. Their backcourt is big. I mean, Suggs is a big defender.
So he's a dog.
He is. He is.
He never stops.
And you know what? Hats off to him. Game one, as he's limping off this, or literally, he's not even limping. He's being carried off.
Yes.
I thought, wow, that's a massive blow to them. And he comes back later in the game.
Right.
So to Suggs' credit, I mean, what a series he has put together. But he has length. So, yeah, there's some things that Orlando does defensively. And that's where you get into some adjustments. Now, to me, one of the things that JB has said all season long, he's been very consistent with it, is that, yes, we're in a three-ball league. Yes, everybody wants to shoot the long ball, but I want it to be an inside-out offense. I want that ball to go in, spray back out. Make that defense expand and contract so that when it does get sprayed back out, they're going to be late to get back out, and now you've got a good look at a three. I haven't seen that inside-out offense as much as we saw during the regular season.
Yeah, I've done the numbers, Timmy, and I'm sure you've looked at them. As a team, they're 29 of 123 from three-point range. That's a dismal 23%.
That's dismal.
And the, one of their strengths this year was what? They went out to improve the three-point shooting, and they won a lot of games shooting the three, and they've been unable to make them. And they may not be as wide open as they are in the regular season, with good reason. It's the playoffs and defenses, and you're allowed to get away with more and everything. But there have been times. Max Strus has been wide open. George Niang in the corner has been wide open. Is it the defense that's causing some of these misses? Are the looks not as good because of the shot clock winding down, and thus they're pressured to shoot them? Or what can you point to as to why maybe they haven't been as successful hitting threes?
Well, I think your first two points are valid. Number one, yeah, it's a tougher look. It's a tougher shot when you get to postseason basketball. And we talked about Orlando's defense. So I'll agree with you on both of those, but listen, the third point is, and George and Max and those guys will readily admit it, they have not shot it well.
Okay.
And this is why they were brought here. So, yeah, you can talk about the defense, and you can talk about the fact that the looks aren't going to be as clean as they are in the middle of January when you're playing game number 50 or whatever it is. But that being said, this is playoff basketball. You're expected to knock those shots down. Now, it may not be in the mid-40s or whatever that number is that you get during the regular season, but you've got to be consistent insofar as at least making the defense play you honestly.
Yeah.
You know what it seems like at times, though, too? You watch Cavaliers all season long. It seems as though it's a team that likes to get out to a big lead early. And I don't know if it's cruising through the rest of the game or whatever, but, I mean, for this team to play four quarters of quality basketball, we haven't seen it since maybe, I mean, on a consistent basis, since maybe since before the All-Star break. How do they get to the point where they can play four straight quarters? And is it important for them to get out to that big lead in order to beat this Orlando team?
I don't know if it has to be a big lead, but this isn't an Orlando team that's built to play from behind. They don't have those explosive scores. They don't go on those big runs. Yes, Banchero can score. Franz Wagner can score, but you put Orlando in a 15, 18-point hole, they're going to have a really difficult time coming back because, again, let's look at the large sample size, the 82-game schedule. They're not a good three-ball shooting team, so they're not going to shoot themselves right back into the ball game. So is it advantageous for the Cavs to get out to the early lead? Yes. And JT, I think you make a great point. And believe me, if I had the answer, I'd bottle it and run down to the locker room right now and say, JB, here's the answer.
Yeah.
But this team has been inconsistent coming out of the locker room in the second half for letting lead slip away. And that better not be the case tonight.
Game number five tonight, Cavaliers and Magic in the best of seven series. Now it becomes a best of three series, pivotal. I've said this, Tim, and it's not the end-all, be-all. If you lose, you still have another game, right? You're not eliminated tonight. But I think the winner of tonight's game wins the series because Cavaliers, if they can go on the road and steal it, they end it in six. If not, they've got the comfort of coming back home. But you don't want to rely on that, right? You want to play your best two games of the season in back-to-back games. So from a overall team standpoint, early on, what are you going to be watching to see that tells you, okay, these guys are locked in and this looks like the team that won 18 of 19 or in the first two games of this series?
Knocking down shots.
Simple as that?
I think it's that simple. I think if they come out and knock down shots and get Orlando on their heels a little bit, again, I just mentioned Orlando's not a team that's built to play from behind. Mm-hmm. So if they knock down shots and get this crowd into it, because I agree with what you guys said earlier. I think the sense of urgency is on the Cavs tonight. And all of a sudden, if they're playing from behind, that vice grip of pressure starts to build a little bit. So knock down some shots, feel good about yourselves, right, especially coming off the horrendous second half performance on Saturday down in Orlando. So that's what I'll be looking for, Kenny. I think if the Cavs come out and play with some confidence, hit some shots early, get the lead, get this home court into it like we know it can be,
right,
I think they'll be in good shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it is 2-2, and Kenny, I tend to lean, maybe not 100%, but about 70 to 80% agree with you that, boy, whoever wins tonight is really in the driver's seat.
How many teams can say they're not banged up at this point?
Right.
I mean, everybody's got nicks and bruises and whatever else. You answer the bell, you do it for the people at home, and you're at home tonight. And the Cavaliers, we know, play well at home. They're like 10 games over 500 against teams in the East, and I don't like to compare what goes on in the regular season to postseason, but these fans don't know that. And they come to life, and they're going to be like the sixth player on that floor, I think. You know, I mean, I'm keeping my fingers crossed because Kenny and I, every day we get on this show and we talk about Cavalier basketball, and we say, the one thing that we can both agree on is we don't know what to think is going to happen until those scoreboards hit zero at the end.
Yeah, there's been a mystery to this team all year long. Although when they were on that roll, you know, with the 18 out of 20 and all that, they were playing at a level that was just, number one, fun to call as a broadcaster. But, you know, fun to watch. They were clicking on all cylinders. And then things got clunky after that, and they've yet to regain that form. So, but it's amazing, guys. We've all seen it. Teams that suffer these blowout losses in the playoffs, by the way, including the 2016 world champion Cavaliers in game three against Golden State, got beat by 30.
Right.
You know, so, and then it'll turn on a dime.
Yeah.
So will that happen tonight? Well, that's the beauty of it. That's,
you know what, though, Tim?
Sports.
Go back to that win streak, and a couple of things that we're not seeing in the playoffs is the fact that J.B. Bickerstaff utilized more of his bench, and we know you don't play as many guys in the playoffs, but if it worked, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah, and again, that's been roller coaster, where Sam Merrill came off the bench in game one, didn't play in game two, again, saw some action in game three. J.B., I think, hinted very subtly, but he hinted at some changes. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him go deeper into that bench tonight. Again, because, listen, give credit where credit is due. Orlando's bench has completely outplayed the Cavalier bench. Yep. I mean, Jamal Mosley has no trepidation turning to those guys. And then he made the lineup adjustment where he's got Isaac coming off the bench again, like he did during the regular season. Jonathan started the first two games. But he's got guys, and again, I hope he hears a warm welcome, sarcastically. Yeah. But Mo Wagner, Cole Anthony, Jonathan Isaac, those guys contribute.
I'm hoping, Tim, and this is just, you know, that stuff that's stored away in the back of my mind, that the Wendell Carter move isn't the Andrew Bogut move. If you remember, right, 2015, Cavaliers and Warriors in the NBA Finals, Steve Kerr, they're down 2-1. And he says, I got to take Bogut out, and I'm going to go Andre Iguodala. And they went smaller, and, you know, it ended up winning the series for them. Yep. So I'm hoping that effect doesn't occur here, you know, with the Cavaliers this year. And I think tonight you can stop that by winning tonight.
Yeah.
You can put that doubt back in their minds. All right, you lost again here in our building, and should there be a Game 7, we still get to come back to this building.
Right. No, I totally agree with you. And again, a lot of gnashing of the teeth, a lot of frustration. In the end, it's tied 2-2.
Yeah, right,
the
right.
Cavs aren't down 0-2.
Right, right.
They're not trailing 3-1. It's a 2-2 series. Kenny, you said it's 2 out of 3. 2 of those 3 would be here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. So, yeah, a lot of people were frustrated out of Orlando. But big picture, okay, whether they had won by 1 or they had won by 25 and 30, they won 2 on their home floor. They did what they had to do. So now we come back here. It's the series isn't over. The Cavs got beat. Okay, now you come back home and you play game 5.
They realize that, though. You're around these guys. Kenny was talking about sometimes the way these guys act or where, you know, body language, so to speak. You see these guys on a regular basis. Are there ever too many highs or too many lows in a series like this? You're down. I mean, you're not down, but you lost 2 in a row. How is this team mentally?
I think they're fine. I didn't see anything either on the flight home or I was at shoot around this morning, you know, where guys are hanging their head, oh, woe is me. They're professional athletes, and they realize the ebb and flow and how it goes. JT, I think if it had gone 3-0, you would have seen that from Orlando. I've never seen a team 3-0. Except for Tito's Boston Red Sox.
Right.
Oh, we're still in this thing. Right. If you're down 3-0 and it's 153-0 now in NBA history.
Right.
Yeah, you'll see heads hang. They'll talk a good game, but you'll see it. But no, I didn't see that from the Cavaliers. Listen, we lost two at their place. Let's get it back home. Let's get back on track and let it fly here tonight.
Yeah, it should be a good one here tonight. I'm with you. I think this will be a close game. I don't think one team or the other is going to blow, you know, this one wide open. I think, you know, I watched that Denver game last night with the Lakers. I don't know if you stayed up to watch
it.
How could you not, right?
Right.
I mean,
an NBA fan.
Right.
No matter who you're rooting for, as a fan of basketball.
Yeah.
Oh, it was amazing.
It really was. And here's the thing. I try to really not get overhyped or overworked up about things because in that series, guess what? The Lakers led every game at halftime, and that was a trend.
That's like 80% of the series.
Right, and they lost 4-1. So you look at that, and if you're Denver, you're thinking, how the hell were we not leading at half? But yet they end up winning because they're the defending champs. Cavaliers still need to win a playoff series maybe to gain confidence, and that's why, you know, maybe – for one of the few times in a long time, we could end up seeing in this series where home court 4-3 ends up winning the series, and those 82 games that you played all season to get the fourth seed in that game 7 at home end up meaning something.
Absolutely. No, JB has talked about that. You want home court advantage for game 7.
Yep.
That's why you want home court advantage. That's what you work for all season long to get home court advantage in the first round. Won't happen for the Cavs and beyond unless somehow Miami pulls a miracle. But, yeah, you want that Game 7 in your building.
Yeah, you do. You expect this place to be rocking and elevating tonight the ground and towards showing up on radar at Hopkins International?
I do. I mean, as I mentioned before, my fifth year as far as play-by-play, but I've been coming to Cavalier games at the old Gund Arena and, then, of course, Quicken Loans Arena and now Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. This place, when it's really thumping, is just electric, and I expect that tonight.
Absolutely.
I think this place will literally be vibrating.
I went out today, and I took some pictures out there. They have the old Coliseum floor out by the elevators, so I got my picture taken out there to have for old time's sake because – if you drive by it, it doesn't. There's nothing there. You wouldn't know it existed, but we remember.
Yes. You know, it's funny because I drive by there occasionally. Mm-hmm. You can still literally picture the games. You can still hear how each is.
You
can just visualize it when you drive by. It was a special place.
It's on my way from Canton. There's still, it's Richfield. You go, the Coliseum used to be right
there. Used to be there, yeah.
I remember seeing the Who there, Timmy. I'm going to date myself.
Wow, there you go. Very good. All right, Tim Alcorn, we always appreciate the time you make for us. Have a great call tonight. Everybody listen to him on WHBC, 8 o'clock tip-off.